Now, aging can bring a variety of challenges, and having a hard time making ends meet can be one of them. A recent report by the UW Institute for Research on Poverty shows that while poverty rates for children fell in 2017, they rose for the elderly in the same period. The report concluded overall that poverty rates have been stagnating in Wisconsin. So why the change for the elderly? To help us understand more about what might be behind these trends, we're joined by Rob Gunderman. He's president and executive director of the Coalition of Wisconsin Aging and Health Groups, which is a statewide advocacy organization for elderly people. Rob, thanks for coming to the studio and welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
How significant are the findings from this report in regards to the elderly in Wisconsin?
Oh, they're very significant. And I think, you know, one of the things I look at when I read reports like this is I look for trends. And one thing I've noticed is that the trend of the medical expenses out of pocket. But this follows largely what I've seen over the past decades in Wisconsin with seniors. And one of the things that really came through in this report is how many seniors are close to poverty but aren't quite there yet. But one unexpected problem is going to push them into that, or a rent increase or something like that.
Well, and let's talk about your experience. As you said, you've been working for decades with or on behalf of the elderly. What are some things that have remained pretty consistent over those years as far as challenges, and what are maybe newer elements?
Sure. I think, you know, some of the consistent problems we've had are, you know, since World War II, we have really evolved as a nation, as a driving nation. We say we're a consumer-driven nation, but really we're an automobile-driven nation. And when you get into rural Wisconsin, that causes a lot of problems for seniors. I was reading this weekend that the average cost, annual cost of owning a car is $9,000. That's depreciation, your auto insurance, your maintenance, your fuel, all those costs together. Even if you halved that to $4,500, that's an extreme expense for a senior who's on a fixed income and just sort of making it.
And I think that ties into the idea that we often think of poverty as something that happens in urban areas. But you're saying certainly it does, but there are some additional factors and challenges in rural areas.
Absolutely. People in rural areas of Wisconsin, and Wisconsin's unique. We have extreme temperatures. We have extreme cold. We have extreme heat. But they face different challenges in many ways. You need a car to access your medication, your groceries, things like that. Otherwise, you're looking at alternate forms of transportation. We do have some transportation assistance alternatives here in Wisconsin, but it's hard to live without an automobile. And reliable automobiles become more important as you get out into rural Wisconsin. If I break down in Madison, well, here's another thing. I'm still that generation where we're cord cutting. I have a cellular phone, but I don't have a landline. With seniors, it's really the opposite. They tend to have landlines and not cell phones. And if you and I are out driving in the middle of winter and our car breaks down, or say we get stuck in a snowbank, what are we going to do? We're going to pull out our cell phone and we're going to call for help. But a lot of seniors don't have that option. They don't have that cell phone. They don't have that lifeline. So they just face unique circumstances. If they need a reliable vehicle and they don't have the option of necessarily calling for help.
We're talking with Rob Gunderman right now. He's president and executive director of the Coalition of Wisconsin Aging and Health Groups. We're talking about a new report that shows that the rate of poverty among elderly people in Wisconsin is rising. And for probably a significant number of people who are no longer working, Social Security is either their entire income or a large portion of it. We asked people on Facebook what they thought might be contributing to this, and Chris wrote, "The biggest problem is the way the Social Security Administration is structured. The income caps need to be lifted, the poverty guidelines revised to reflect reality." What are some of the additional challenges for people who may be relying predominantly on Social Security benefits?
Well, that's absolutely true, and thankfully, Social Security has reduced the elderly poverty rates dramatically. We were in the 30 percentiles before Social Security, so it's extremely important to keeping elderly people out of poverty. The problem is out-of-pocket costs, their out-of-pocket medical expenses, and just the cost of living is increasing at a faster rate than the Social Security rates are increasing, and we need to fix that, because if we don't, the elderly will be driven into poverty because of these costs.
So Are Social Security payments indexed to cost of living, or how are they determined?
They're indexed, but they are not keeping pace with what the elderly specifically are facing in those medical expenses. They're outpacing those cost of living index increases. Mm. And that's what we have to figure out. How do we structure Social Security so that it is increasing with their expenses?
They're already talking about Social Security potentially running out of money or payments having to be reduced, 20 years out from now. What kind of impact might that type of move, if there was political will to do it, would that perhaps have on the fund?
I think, historically, we look back and we see what Social Security has done in terms of benefiting the elderly, and you can reverse engineer that and see what would happen if we took that away. We're going to have higher rates of elderly in poverty again.
Mm-hmm. Sarah on Facebook wrote, I help out a 95-year-old woman weekly. She's pretty healthy and fairly independent, but she needs assistance with laundry, cleaning, other miscellaneous tasks. But her money budget is tight and she squeezes everything she can out of a dollar. For instance, limiting herself on basics, for like just paying for one load of laundry per week. She reuses everything she can and just scrapes by. And I thought the most interesting part of this comment was, Sarah says, her adult children and adult grandchildren, I believe, don't really know how tight it is for her. And is that something that you've seen, where older people are struggling, but they might not feel comfortable really, really asking for help?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is one of the biggest problems that we have in Wisconsin. And I suspect it's nationwide, but we're dealing with, we call them the greatest generation for a reason. They're wonderful people. They don't want to be a burden, and they don't want to take anything that they feel they don't absolutely need. And they don't want to take anything if someone else needs it. This is something that I hear all the time from older folks. I don't want to take this because someone else may need it. And they underutilize benefits, and we need to change that, because when the benefits that are available to them aren't utilized, it tells policymakers they aren't needed, and then those benefits can actually go away.
So what are some of those benefits that you think that people are not taking full advantage of?
One of the biggest one for the elderly is food share. I think it's 3 in 5 that are eligible are not taking that.
And that's what we used to call food stamps, basically?
Exactly, yeah. SNAP, it's called. In other places in Wisconsin, we call it food share.
And so what might people be eligible for as far as the food share program?
Well, they'd be eligible for food assistance. And it's not just the food share. It's other programs like this. We find the seniors, they don't want to take it. When I was working for Alzheimer's and we had a dementia program to help people stay in their homes, they weren't tapping it because they'd say, well, I don't really need that. Someone else, I can do without. Someone else may really need that. And this is the problem. And you mentioned the home care piece, and that's something that I've been thinking a lot about. I think as a society, we are going to get to the point where we realize we need to provide this as a service, because one of the things you don't want is an elderly couple or an individual to be forced into an assisted living facility or a nursing home because they can't do their laundry or because they can't clean their house. And I've seen this. There was a couple when the Speaker's Task Force was traveling around the state, there was a couple that came and spoke, and it's a husband and wife. And the husband had always helped with the chores. The wife had some physical limitations, and he would put the dishes away and he would vacuum and things like this. And now that he has dementia, he couldn't do that anymore. He wouldn't put things in the right place. He wasn't able to do the cleaning, wasn't able to do the laundry and things like that. And she broke down into tears and said, this is going to force us into a facility. And it's just a few hours of help at home that they need. And the average cost for a nursing home in Wisconsin right now is over $100,000 a year. And that can wipe out your savings pretty quickly. So, the more that we can keep – and when they have expended their resources, then they're in on the government's dime. Medicaid is going to pick that up. So, it's a benefit to them to allow them to remain in their homes, and it's a benefit to the rest of us too. So I think somehow having a benefit, having more availability of home health for people is going to be important going forward.
And I want to let people know that at WPR.org/Central Time, we do have links to Food Share and several other programs that elderly people who are struggling with making ends meet can access. That's attached to the segment note for this conversation. I want to go back, Rob, to something you said about out-of-pocket medical expenses, because I think some of us who haven't dealt directly with Medicare might think, oh, well, everything gets taken care of. What are those out-of-pocket expenses?
You've got co-pays. You have have just things that aren't covered. Medicare doesn't cover everything. That's what people think. Oh, Medicare covers everything. Well, you may have an expensive copay for a medication. We have a bill right now, a pharmacy benefit gag clause bill, that's what we're calling it. There's a provision right now that when a pharmacist gets their contract, they have a clause in there that prevents them from telling you if you can buy your medication out of pocket for less than you would pay through your insurance. We're trying to lift that gag. Senator Erpenbach and Representative Shraw.
It might be more expensive to pay the copay than to actually buy the medication?
Exactly. Wow. And the pharmacist can't tell you that. So I have a dog that has lupus, and I went in to buy two medications for her, and it was going to be $433. And the pharmacist showed me how to get some coupons and reduce that cost to $117. She could do that because I wasn't using insurance.
Wow. Because your dog wasn't insured.
That's right.
We're talking with Rob Gunderman, president of the Coalition of Wisconsin Aging and Health Groups, about the higher rate of elderly people experiencing poverty in Wisconsin. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do these trends of poverty levels rising for older people apply to you or to someone you know? Do you want to share an experience of a challenge you've faced while aging? And what questions do you have for our guest about poverty, the elderly, and resources that might be available? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation after a short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We're continuing our conversation about elderly people experiencing poverty in Wisconsin with Rob Gunderman. Rob is president of the Coalition of Wisconsin Aging and Health Groups. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you or a loved one had a harder time making your budget work as you've aged? What particular challenges have you faced? Did you see them coming, or was it a surprise? And what questions do you have about resources that are available to help people experiencing poverty? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Rob, we were talking before that short break about helping people stay in their homes. Sometimes it's non-medical care that can help them maintain their residence. But then there are some people who need to go into the nursing home. Are there enough affordable nursing homes in Wisconsin?
No.
The short answer is no.
There aren't enough places for – we have far more people in Wisconsin than we are going to have nursing home beds. So a lot of people aren't going to be able to go. And you know, we notice people in urban areas tend to go into the nursing homes more than people in rural areas, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. And how – if someone doesn't have the money to go into a nursing home but needs to, how does that get paid for?
Well – if they don't have enough, they're going to spend down, and then Medicaid is going to pick that up if they can find a facility who will take people who are coming in just on Medicaid. And the other option for a lot of people is to go into a community-based assisted living facility, CBRFs we call them. And those are they can't provide the level of skilled nursing care that a nursing home can, but it's a less expensive alternative, and that works well for a lot of people.
Hmm. Let's go to the phones at 800-642-1234, and Stan in West Allis is up. Hi, Stan.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. Real quick, I'll comment, and then I'll get off the line. We need to know what age level are we talking about when we say elderly people. What is the age level? Because I'm 71 myself, and my generation, we're living longer. There was a time right after the war that people weren't living as long as you referenced the Second World War. People weren't living as long, and I think with the medical issues that good health care and so on and so forth, people are outliving their income, are they not? Thank you. I'll take my call off.
Thanks for that call, Stan, and that's a great question. So when we look at these trends and say that poverty among the elderly is rising, what age range are we looking at?
We're really talking about people 65 and over. That's the general, you know, you're at retirement age at mm-hmm. that point.
And Stan had a very good point, and we actually talked about this before the show started, that people are living a lot longer. So instead of spending maybe 10 years post-working life if we're lucky, we're living 20, 30, even more years. How does that impact these issues?
Well, that's right. And you have to plan for it. And a little bit disheartening is that this impacts women more than it does men, because exactly what you said, it's that lifespan. Women tend to live on average about 5 years longer than men do. So you end up in a situation where dad gets sick first. Dad's expense, you're using the money to take care of dad. Dad may then need to go into a nursing home. And then dad passes away. And now mom has what's left to take care of her, essentially.
Basically, and what's left may or may not be anywhere near what she would need.
Absolutely. And if, say, a woman who was never married, she's in even a more difficult position because she hasn't earned as much throughout her lifetime. So she's going to have less resources, and she's going to have to make those resources last longer. And she's also not going to have the support network. We refer to elder orphans as these people who don't have a spouse, they don't have children to help, and that makes their life more difficult.
There have been some creative ideas and projects that I've seen where, you know, groups of never married women or men get together and basically form a family, a community to live together. But those are, I think, pretty few and far between.
Yes. Yeah. And it takes a unique person to be able to do that.
Let's go back to the phones. And Jeff in Green Bay is up. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. Just a brief comment and then the question. My comment is, if you look at the State Department of Administration demographic services projections, the 65 and older population is just going to explode over the next generation. We need to prepare to plan for that. Second, I was wondering, I know your coalition a few years ago, I think they took seniors up to Canada to get prescriptions. Is that still going on, or is that kind of in the past now?
Thanks for that call, Jeff. So again, going back to those out-of-pocket expenses often being prescriptions and the fact that you can often buy things much more cheaply across the border.
Yes, that is not something that we have been involved in since I've taken over the coalition. I took over in January, and that's not something that we have done. But you're absolutely right that Wisconsin is getting older. As a state, we are aging, and we're going to have a lot more older folks in this state in the coming decades, and that is something that we absolutely need to prepare for. We need to prepare for it across the board, but that's even going to impact our workforce issues.
Thanks for that call, Jeff. Let's go back to the phones, and Jan in Stevens Point is on. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to comment on our wonderful senior care program here in Wisconsin. My sister is a type 1 diabetic, so she needs insulin, and it's quite expensive. And for first year that she was on Medicare, she was actually had to charge it on a charge card because she couldn't afford it. It's very expensive. And I kept urging her to just try, you know, to apply for senior care, and she thought she wasn't eligible because she has a small pension, you know, from her work. But she did apply, and she does have a deductible. But once that deductible is met, it's only $5 a month. I mean, it's a lifesaver for her.
Thanks for that, Jan. And so, Rob, that goes back to one of the first things we talked about, that there are resources out there that people may be eligible for, and they're, for whatever reason, not taking advantage of them.
Yeah, I think one of the problems is you can have all the great programs in the world, but if nobody knows about them, they aren't going to access them. So, you know, making sure that older folks know these things are out there. And we talked about the cord cutter generation. Well, a lot of older folks don't have internet, and that is how a lot of people find these programs. So I recommend that people go to their Aging and Disability Resource Center. It's sort of your one-stop shop where you'll go in there and they will do an assessment and figure out what you're available to take advantage of.
Brenda in New Berlin emailed to ask if disappearing pensions play a role in this rise in poverty. She says her grandparents and parents had great pensions, but she and her husband don't. And that has been a very big shift in how we work.
It has, and that's something that particularly affects minorities. When you look at the statistics of minorities, African Americans are far less likely to have pensions than the rest of us are, and that applies to other minorities as well. So that is a problem. It's a problem across the board, but it's a problem that disproportionately affects minorities.
Rob, knowing what you know about where we are now with rates of poverty among the elderly, and actually what is the percentage of people in Wisconsin?
For the elderly, I believe it's 9. Well, it depends on which marker mm-hmm. you're looking at. But we've figured about 10% roughly for people with that are the older generation. Mm-hmm. And that tends to track pretty well nationwide. Mm-hmm. You have disparities from state to state. I've seen some states with 15. I saw this weekend that the District of Columbia is 25%. But 10%, we're mm-hmm. pretty well in the middle pack.
And do you have hope that the next time the report comes out that we might see some improvement?
I do. You know, and it's things like senior care. We do have some unique programs, and hopefully we will get more of that going. That's part of what the coalition is aiming to do, is to find ways that we can help the elderly avoid this. They're our greatest generation. They've won wars for us. I mean, think of everything that these people have done for us. They don't deserve to end up in poverty.
Well, Rob, thanks so much for joining us. And I'll remind people that when you go to WPR.org/Central Time, find the segment note for this conversation. And there are several links there for Food Share and other resources that Rob has mentioned that you can find. Rob Gunderman is president and executive director of the Coalition of Wisconsin Aging and Health Groups. We talked with him about some of the challenges facing people as they age and some of the resources available to help elderly people experiencing poverty. You can keep the conversation going over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.